First Corinthians chapter 1, please. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And from that one verse, I want to ask you to mentally highlight five words. The preaching of the cross. Because that is how Paul summarized his preaching. When Paul preached, it was the preaching of the cross. Paul preached to the Galatians, and he writes to them, and that's a large region to which he is writing, reviewing his preaching, but all through that region, he speaks of them as being those before whose eyes Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among them. Now, you know Galatia and Jerusalem are not the same place. The Lord Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem, but when Paul preached the gospel away in Galatia, it seemed to those who listened to him preaching as if they were watching that crucifixion once again. When Paul summarized his preaching to the Corinthians, he says, this is the gospel that ye received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The preaching of the cross was the center of what Paul declared. And what the gospel was then is still the gospel now. We're not at liberty to change the message of the gospel. We're not at liberty to alter God's message to men and women. And we still believe that what God sent Paul to preach is the message for 1999. And what met the need of men and women in the first century and in all the centuries to the present moment is what meets the needs of men and women in this gospel meeting tonight. And if the Lord be not come, it will still be heralded into the next millennium. It is the only message of hope from God for a world of men and women. It will never change the preaching of the cross. And let me ask you tonight, just at this juncture of the meeting, to recognize this fundamental truth. If there has never been a moment when the work of the cross, the message of the cross, became personal to you, personally met your spiritual need, then above everything in this world, you need what we're preaching tonight. You need to be saved. See what Paul is speaking about to these people? The preaching of the cross. Why, to those that perish, it does not make sense. But to us which are saved, why, that's what makes the whole difference to us. It is the message of the cross. What came to us about Christ at Calvary? You know, people have an idea, well now, these people in this building are preaching their idea of religion. And of course, there are various interpretations. If you stop at a different building, you get a different interpretation. And if people stop at your door to tell you, they might give you another interpretation. As simply as I can, let me level every message and tell you if it's the preaching of the cross, it's from God. And if it's anything else, it's not from God. And if you have received the value of the work of Christ personally to meet your need. That is salvation. And no matter what other experience you may have, no matter how far you have advanced in religious recognition, no matter how far you have gone in learning the truth of the Bible, and a dozen other things, do not count. Everyone who is going to heaven is going to heaven because of the message of the cross. The message of the cross is actually the exclusion of every religious effort. While the symbol of religion in our world tonight is a silver-plated cross, the message of the cross, the preaching of the cross, ends every human effort in religion. Because you see, what the cross says is this: unless God intervenes in the history of man, man will never be right with God. The idea that men and women have is that actually people all through history have been working toward God. And we are now getting a richer concept of God, and we're getting closer. And what the Bible teaches is this: if Christ had not come, we would all have been in hell. If it were not for the cross, there would not be one man or woman in heaven. If it were not for the cross, not one person could be right with God or move one step closer to being right with God. The cross of Christ is an absolute necessity for a world of men and women. Working does not make a person acceptable before God. Praying does not remove a person's sins. Faithful adherence to a religion of your choice does not, cannot, never will fit you for heaven. The Jewish people had the only God-given religion. It was a religion of tremendous complexity. And the requirements affected every day of their life. And every week of their year had to include at least one Sabbath when they observed their religion fastidiously. And every time they brought a bag of groceries into their house, their religion affected what they did with that bag of groceries. I guess they didn't have bags in those days, did they? They had to take part from the bag and give it to God. And then part from the bag could go in not the refrigerator. It could go someplace in their cabinet, wherever they kept it. It affected every detail of their life and left them still lost in their sins. Because man could not do enough to meet the holy requirements of God. If praying determined whether a person could be in heaven, you don't have the capacity, the time, or the holy character within to pray enough. Man's religious efforts are futile. And that is the message of the cross. But more than that, let me tell you that the message of the cross is the exclusion of every religious effort, because God requires something more that man cannot provide. One of the basic, I suppose we need to quote it perhaps more than we do: without shedding of blood is no remission. Now that's quoted from the book of Hebrews, and it is actually a summary statement of all that God required in the Old Testament. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Not one sin could be put away apart from a blood sacrifice, is the principle that is being stated.
And that is a statement that goes right back to the first story when man sin came into the world. The wages of sin is death. And God has this holy requirement that for sin to be put away, there must be a death. It wouldn't be my death to put away my sin, because were I to die with that sin not paid for, then I would be punished for that sin forever. But for my sin to be paid for by death, there must be an acceptable sacrifice. And that's the story of lamb after lamb and bullock and goat in the Old Testament that was put to death. God says, I'll give you a picture. Now make sure that this lamb is a lamb without blemish and without spot. It's got to be perfect because it's going to be pointing onward to God's perfect Son, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And here is a perfect, as far as the farmer could produce, a without spot and blemish, a lamb. And that lamb does not deserve to die for my sin. I deserve to die. And God says, I will accept the death of that lamb for the guilty party's sin. And without shedding of blood is no remission. And all the religions of man have put the responsibility for my forgiveness upon me, have put the responsibility of doing something that satisfies God on the guilty party. And God's Word makes it very clear that the only possibility of removing the guilty sinner's guilt is upon another. It requires a sacrifice to die in his stead. The word, the preaching of the cross is this. There is no other way to God apart from Calvary. There is no other way for sin to be forgiven apart from the precious blood of our Lord Jesus at Calvary. And if you are ever going to be right with God, you will, after all, have to abandon every religious effort. Abandon every thought of your own worth and self-righteousness and turn from all of that. And alone cling to the Christ who died at Calvary. No hope apart from Calvary. It is the exclusion of every religious effort. But let me go beyond that and tell you that the preaching of the cross tells us of the exposure of every human's depravity. There is something about mankind unique among all the creatures from God's hand that is uniquely despicable. I marveled at this. We were reminded last week, and the way Brother Marv put it just struck me so, as God was forming each of the features. Form man from the dust of the ground. God didn't form the whales. He spoke them into existence. He formed man. And as God the craftsman formed man, he was forming the creature who would spit upon a sign and assign him to a rugged cross to die in agony. I want you to know tonight that it was not some mistake of ignorance that took place when men crucified their God. I want you to know tonight that the Lord Jesus looked into the eyes of the Jewish leaders in the week before the crucifixion, and they perceived that he spoke this parable against them. And he said, it's like a son coming from a father to visit the people that weren't willing to pay the rent for the vineyard. And when they saw that son coming, they said, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. They looked at the son, they knew who he was, and they wouldn't have him. And the Lord Jesus says, I'm speaking of you religious leaders who within the week would pay money to the crowd to cry out with one united voice, away with him, crucify him. And the incarnate maker stood before his fragile creatures, bedecked with a crown of thorns, spotted by the blood that must have flowed from the scourging, the cruel, painful scourging he received. Wearing a mock robe of royalty, with a weak reed that says his kingdom is only a pretend kingdom, he is only a pretend king with a crown of thorns. And I think if you could have seen close enough, you would have seen spittle still upon his precious cheek. And the incarnate maker thus stood before men. Pilate was a keen observer of human nature. He was absolutely certain that this sight of this miracle worker, this man of all men, the most kind and gentle, that this sight will be enough to bring some kind of pity from those that gathered before him. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." I want you to know tonight that every Christian in this meeting would like to just take a few moments now to behold that man and bow with gratitude that he was willing to bear a crown of thorns for my sins. He was willing to go to Calvary, bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place. Condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah! What a Savior! And those men said, away with him. Crucify him. The scourging is not enough. The crown of thorns, the spittle, not enough. Put him on a cross. Number him with transgressors. We would rather have a murderer than to have him remain with us. Vile men, weren't they? Cruel. Calculating. Thoroughly rejecting him. Why? Because his righteousness made them uncomfortable. His claim subjected them to what they would not accept. Vile creatures. Are we all agreed? And let me tell you tonight that in those hearts God sees the expression of every human heart. You and I belong to a race whose nature was expressed in assigning its God to death. There is something basically twisted and wrong with human nature. It has never been more tragically expressed than at Calvary, when God's eternal Son hung upon a cross, impaled by nails, surrounded by thieves, and around the foot of that cross, men stood with not one pitying word to be said. I looked for comforters, and I found none. For some to take pity, and there were none. And surrounding that cross was the creature to whom he was giving every breath. And it wasn't enough that they watched him there. They mocked him. That is the truth of the preaching of the cross. Man is a totally depraved sinner. Man has been ruined as a race. Man's nature cannot be repaired. And I'm not talking about man up there. I want the truth by the power of the Spirit of God to come home to every conscience tonight. That's you and that's me. That's why I'd like to remind you tonight that the preaching of the cross tells us about the expression of every divine attribute. Now, that's a big subject. Let me just select for you what little I can express. There has never been a more full expression of God's character than at Calvary. If I have just touched tonight the fringe of the horrible depth of man's wickedness expressed at Calvary, then let me tell you that Calvary expresses God's unexcelled grace. Through this, the very worst that man could do, God provided the very best for man that God could provide. Do you understand the contrast? No wonder John Newton said, "Amazing grace. Amazing grace." Would you not understand that the people who have crucified God's Son should have wrath from God in an instant? And instead of wrath, the very act that was the most heinous of human acts, the very act is what God uses to bring eternal blessing to man. God saves men and women on the basis of grace. By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God does not take men and women to heaven because they deserve to be in heaven. God does not forgive sins because people deserve to be forgiven. God does not offer eternal blessings because people come to God and say, "I'm sorry for all of that, and I promise to do better, and I really feel bad." God has no conditions for his salvation. He offers salvation by grace. And if you tonight were willing to take salvation without one stitch of merit on your part, you could receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. That is the message of the cross. Unexcelled grace. But let me tell you that Calvary is as well the expression of uncompromising righteousness. If there is ever an expression that God's righteousness will never be compromised, it is Calvary. What I mean by that is this. You'll understand tonight, don't you, that God loved that Son of His upon the cross. He made worlds for that Son. Everything He has ever planned centers around that Son. But when that Son was upon that cross, this is what the Bible says. He that spared not his own Son. And what makes, one of the many things, but just at the moment, what makes my heart worship as I think of Calvary is that all of God's wrath for my sins, without anything being held back, was all poured out on his Son at Calvary. And I want you to know tonight, it was God's holy character that required that. No other way that sin could be put away. And the agony and depths of suffering at Calvary were mandated by God's righteousness. Even if it is upon his Son, God must punish sin. And let me lift your eye from Calvary into the darkness of an endless eternity. In case anyone should doubt that God will punish sin, let me tell you tonight that God's uncompromising righteousness demands that every sin must be punished. We believe tonight in a literal burning hell of eternal torment because of the uncompromising righteousness of God. Please do not fog your concept of the character of God. Some hazy God that really is too kind to punish sin. God punished sin when at Calvary he caused to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. And the full weight of God's wrath flowed over Christ at Calvary because God must be sin. And I want you to know tonight, if you miss the message of the cross, then you're going out to an eternal night of darkness and ruin and the suffering of an endless hell, because God will punish sin. And if you face God tonight with one sin unforgiven, there is nothing for your soul but the righteous wrath of God forever. And Calvary is the expression of God's undeserved love. God loved his Son eternally, immeasurably. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to save a world of guilty sinners. God's love was expressed in this unique, unsurpassed way. God gave his Son to suffer at Calvary. And if you have ever heard the tempter's voice in your ear telling you that if you received this gift of salvation from God, you would miss something in life, that actually this God is trying to box you into a corner of a straitjacket religion, then let me just tell you from Calvary that God loves you. And God wants the best for you in this life. And the best for you in this life is not the freedom to commit every sin you wish. The greatest blessing in this life is the capacity to be ever able to live in fellowship with God and to do what is right and enjoy it. God wants the best for you. And anything else is destructive. Not for your good. And at best, it is second best. Oh, let me tell you tonight that Calvary has written in golden letters that God loves you. He wants you in heaven, and he wants the very best for you. He gave his only begotten Son. I think I just have to tell you this as I close, that Calvary is the explanation for every believer's confidence. Why am I so sure tonight that my sins are forgiven? Why am I so sure that I will be in heaven? And I am. By the grace of God, I am positive that I will be in heaven, and I don't deserve to be there. I never will. I will be in heaven because Jesus died for me. And we can tell you tonight, you can leave this meeting sure of being in heaven for only one reason. Christ died for the ungodly. And if you will take the message of the cross, the preaching of the cross, if you will take the message for yourself, there's nothing mysterious about that. It is simply giving God credit for telling the truth. God is saying that what Christ did at Calvary was for the world of men and women. God is telling you tonight that Christ suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, the righteous one for unrighteous sinners, that he might bring us to God. And the message from the cross tonight is this: Christ has suffered, the work is finished, and there is blessing, forgiveness, and salvation for every soul through what Christ did, plus nothing. You don't need a feeling to leave the meeting tonight knowing you're going to heaven. You don't need an experience to leave the meeting tonight knowing you are going to heaven. You do not need some sudden figuring out of a formula to leave this meeting tonight knowing that you're going to heaven. What you need tonight is this: to know that that Christ who died at Calvary met your need because he died for your sins. And if you know that tonight from the Word of God, you leave this meeting certain that God will never judge you for your sins, certain that there's a place reserved for you in heaven. Couldn't make it more simple than it is. Every person that will be in heaven will be there on one basis and one alone. Christ has satisfied God for me, and I will receive Christ who finished that work. Satisfied God died for my sins. Let us pray. Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy word. We have been reminded of simple and yet such significant truths that change everything. And we thank thee tonight for the truth of the cross to a nation that will one day see their Messiah returning and recognize their own sin, their own mistakes, their own unworthiness. And they will come to that tremendous statement, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and all their blessing, they will at that moment recognize, all depends upon that one that was wounded at Calvary. We have sung it tonight. We cherish the wonderful truths to our heart. Wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgression. And now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. We thank you for Calvary. We worship the one who suffered and died for us, whose love took him to all the depths of anguish and sorrow at Calvary. And we're looking forward to seeing him. We'll tell him forever our gratitude for Calvary. We thank thee for the gospel message. Pray thy blessing upon it and preserving care as we separate. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 100. Hymn number 100. I stand before the wounded Lamb, the lowly Savior crucified, and I repeat with thankful heart, it was for me the Savior died. We'll sing verse 1, verse 2, and the last verse. There's lovely truth in each of these verses. The first, second, and last verse of number 100, thank you for coming. Remember the prayer meeting downstairs immediately following this meeting for those who can stay to help in prayer. And again, we would echo what was said at the beginning of the meeting. If we can answer any questions or be of any help to you, we cannot save you. But the Word of God will point you to Christ. And if we can use the Word of God to be a help to you, that's why we're here. That's what God is interested in. There's no need for anyone in this meeting to leave tonight without salvation and the assurance of heaven for all eternity. Number 100, verses 1, 2, and 4.